This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor and Ben and Ben Taliblu. My colleague, he's a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and I depend upon Benham to report on the Islamic Republic of Iran's many machinations during these days when we know the Biden administration is seeking an accommodation, a peace in some fashion between the Islamic Republic, its neighborhood, Israel, and the United States, some accommodation. I have a story, however, that is requires some explication. The headline, CNBC, markets. Iran opens new oil terminal in bid to bypass crucial Strait of Hormuz for exports. Subhead, this is a strategic move, said the president of Iran, Rouhani, who's leaving office shortly. This is a strategic move and an important step for Iran. It will secure the continuation of our oil exports. Subhead, Iran has previously threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz in response to former President Donald Trump's decision to reimpose sanctions. Benham, is this a successful workaround? Is Iran in the process of re-engaging the oil market, now at $70 a barrel, satisfying its major client, China, and also at this point preparing for the JCPOA, the cash and the stand down from loggerheads?
You know, it's a fascinating question because in many ways it's one footnote as part of a larger trend of Iran preparing for that JCPOA. What that means is that really since the election of Biden in November, Iran has seen an uptick in those illicit oil sales to that major importer you talked about, which is the People's Republic of China. Iran has moved its oil onto those tankers that are already at sea. Iran is expected to continue to engage in these ship-to-ship transfers in these jurisdictions, a weak central authority or areas where it thinks it can actually get away with these transfers to continue to get its oil onto the market or continue to move oil around, given all of these different tanker tracking services that already exist. And the last piece of the puzzle, that part that you just mentioned right now, would give Iran, you could say, a political version of strategic depth. Iran didn't just threaten to close the Strait of Hormuz under President Trump. It threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz under President Obama as well, and I believe under President Bush as well. These are longstanding threats the regime has made. And while Iran did impede maritime commerce in 2019 and 2020 in the Persian Gulf and Strait of Hormuz, everyone always assumed that if this was really formally shut down, Iran's nose would get significantly bloodied by the U.S. military, but also that Iran would not be able to export oil. So Iran trying to find a workaround, no matter how small, is an indicator that Iran is actually going to be looking at all of its options of how best to actualize closing that strait should it ever need to make that threat in the future.
We're anticipating Raisi. Does this give Raisi a leverage room to say no deal because he's got oil exports in some fashion. And unless the JCPOA satisfies him, he cannot give that plum to the Biden administration.
You are exactly right, John, because here Raisi already has a tougher ideological disposition than Rouhani. He's likely going to bring a flank of people who are not as technocratic and don't know how to spin the Western press like Zarif and some other individuals in the Rouhani government. So he will be bringing others to the helm. You know, consider it a revival of the Ahmadinejad era in his first term, of the hardest of the hardliners, former IRGC veterans. These kind of folks are expected to be dominating the constellation of power inside the cabinet of the Islamic Republic. And with the Biden administration really acting over time, not enforcing certain sanctions, perhaps turning a blind eye to these ongoing uptick of ship-to-ship transfers and illicit oil trades and illicit oil movements, the illicit oil sales closer and closer to China from Iran. Iran has been able to get some of this revenue and stay afloat. Remember, the kind of foreign policy that the Islamic Republic executes in the Middle East, it is an indicator of weapons of the weak. It is considerably cheaper for Iran to arm, train, and equip an Iraqi Shia militia or an Afghan child and send them to go fight and die in the Syrian jihad than it is for the U.S. to send in a Green Beret. So Iran needs only to keep several lifelines open just to maintain some of this regional malign activity that it's long been engaging in. That's why it's imperative that the Biden administration not necessarily think about new sanctions, but should double down on current existing sanctions, enforce the living daylights out of those penalties if you want the Iranians to be genuine at the table. And then if you see Raisi blink or try to walk away, call the bluff, double down with new penalties. Something that the Biden administration should always keep in mind is that there's always something left to sanction in Iran.
Dateline Damascus, Syria, in these last days. Israel carried out an aerial attack southeast of Syria's northern Aleppo province, according to a Syrian military official. The unidentified military official quoted by the state news agency said Syrian air defenses shot down most of the missiles in the attack that occurred just before midnight. Business as usual, Benham. Israel attacking the arsenal that Tehran continues to pile up in Syria and Lebanon?
You know, this dynamic has been described as a mowing of the grass. You know, the Iranians are looking to actualize and capitalize on this land bridge. You know, it's basically several contiguous roadways from Iran to Iraq, through Syria and potentially into Lebanon, to kind of serve as a redundant way for them to funnel men and money and munitions to the Syrian conflict, as well as into the hands of Lebanese Hezbollah, which is looking to sharpen the knife that it already has at Israel's neck right now. Iran's ultimate strategy in the Levant is to be able to have a surge capability of men, of munitions, of money, and to encircle Israel. And when you look at that recent proxy war in May of this year, you know exactly why the Israelis have every reason to be concerned. Iran is not just proliferating whole systems, they're proliferating component parts. For those in Lebanese Hezbollah, for instance, what they're proliferating are gyroscopes, accelerometers, motherboards, fins, basically things that can allow you to turn a rocket, which is an unguided munition, into a precision-guided munition, or colloquially known as a missile. That's part of the revolution of things that Iran is trafficking through the region, and that is one major, major, major thing driving the Israelis to strike inside Syria, is to impede the actualization of this land bridge and to roll back these Iranian networks there, whether they're for command and control to guide the militias to move them closer to the Golan Heights, or they're actually for funneling these weapons throughout the region. The goal is to reduce Iran's footprint in Syria and make their policy in the Levant fail, or simply that much harder to execute.
We have not mentioned in particular our European allies, and we have just a minute. The passing of the leadership of Germany from Angela Merkel to unknown, is that significant in the JCPOA? We have about a minute.
You know, the Germans have been somewhat more mercantilist than some of their other European partners. But ultimately, where I'd watch Europe is in the IAEA Board of Governors in September. They were critiquing Iran for the escalation to 60%, but they didn't pull the trigger at the IAEA Board of Governors in the spring or in the summer. They should pull the trigger for a censure resolution in the spring, given their condemnation of Iran for producing uranium metal. That is really how you can tell if the Europeans are serious about putting their money where their mouth is. After all, this is the nuclear issue. This is the issue that they believe matters more than most. So let's watch how they deal with it in September.
Benham Bentaleb, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, watching the JCPOA. Very difficult. It's non-transparent at this point. It's somewhere in Vienna. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.